Divine Mercy Novena Day Number 8. Welcome everyone to Journeys to Torrents of Grace as we seek Jesus' divine mercy over these 9 days. Today we find ourselves on the 8th day and we get to do something very special. Now, who are we praying for today?
This is one of my favorite days in the Novena. So today, bring to me the souls who are detained in purgatory and immerse them in the abyss of my mercy. Let the torrents of my blood cool down their scorching flames. All these souls are greatly loved by me. They are making retribution to my justice. It is in your power to bring them relief. Draw all the indulgences from the treasury of my church and offer them on their behalf. Oh, if you only knew the torments they suffer, you would continually offer for them the alms of the Spirit and pay off their debt to my justice.
Wow. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Treasuries of grace, debt, divine justice.
And fire.
Fire, suffering.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, recently I read this book to our children, and it was so beautiful. It was recommended to me by a lot of different people, and it was written in the 1920s. So some of the language is a little bit different than what I'm, like, used to hearing, but at the same time, it coincides exactly with how they're explaining the souls in purgatory and their suffering, and also how yesterday how Ken was talking about the broad path and the narrow path, and St. Faustina's image that she received describing those two different paths. And in this book, basically, it's called The King of the Golden City, and it's an allegory that helps children to understand, children and adults. I mean, this book really moved me, to have a greater devotion to the Eucharist and regular reception of the Eucharist. But at one point, he describes purgatory and what it's like and how we need to pray for those souls because they, on their own, cannot pray for themselves. And yeah, it was just a very beautiful way to explain it to children. So anyhow, if you're ever looking for a good resource, The King of the Golden City. It was written in the 1920s. The other thing that when I think of the souls in purgatory, it's like I feel like we have everything to gain and nothing to lose to pray for the souls in purgatory, because those souls will be just so grateful that we have taken a moment of our time to offer sacrifice or penance or prayers for them. And, you know, one way that I find helps me to remember to always pray for the souls in purgatory is to pray a morning offering, because that is always, always in the morning offering, is to pray for the souls in purgatory. The other thing that came to my mind was a story that I recently heard. I just thought it was so beautiful. You know, we've been watching the online masses that Ken's brother has been doing, because Ken's brother is a priest in a small rural parish. Actually, he's got multiple parishes. And so we don't get to attend his masses. But now, because we're home and we watch mass from home, we can stream his masses. And I think, I can't remember exactly which day it was. Maybe it was Holy Thursday. But he offered the mass for, I think, 3 priests who had kind of established that community of parishes back in the early 1900s, and for their souls. And I thought, wow, you know, that's so beautiful that those priests have somebody 100 years later who is remembering them and praying and offering the mass on their behalf.
Do you know who your priest was in your parish 100 years ago? Mm-hmm. These men have served, they maybe have established your parish, maybe they built it with their hands, or they organized their work crews to do that. Do you know who they are? So often when a priest passes away, we canonize them. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure they're holy men and men who have built your parish up, mm-hmm. but pray for their soul. But not only for your past pastors, but what about your ancestry, your grandma and grandpa, your great-grandma and grandma, your great-great-great-great, you know, all the way back. Pray for your mm-hmm. ancestry, because the souls in purgatory, they can't do anything. They are helpless. They have the mercy of God working upon their soul, but they can't pray for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can do something for them. We can pray for them, as Janelle mentioned.
And I think maybe sometimes people might say, well, what if I pray for this person and they're already in heaven? We don't need to worry about that. God will distribute the graces as he sees fit.
Yeah, he'll work it out. We do no error in praying for someone in who we may be in purgatory. No error at all.
I often like to pray for those souls that are often forgotten.
Mm.
because I feel like they need prayers because nobody's praying for them.
Well, imagine us. We as Catholics, we are aware of the truth of purgatory. But what about people who die who aren't of a spiritual tradition or even a Christian tradition who are unaware of this reality? Mm-hmm. Who is going to pray for them?
Mm-hmm.
So we pray for those who have been forgotten as well. And what joy we would bring that person in purgatory. That is a favor that will not be forgotten. Have you ever kind of feel bad for yourself because you don't got any friends? Pray for the souls in purgatory. You will gain an eternal friend. Kindness to them will never, ever be forgotten. Why purgatory? I mean, we've got to rewind. Why purgatory? Well, aren't we forgiven of our sin through baptism, through the confession of sin? Yes, God in his mercy, when we go to him in the sacrament of confession, forgives the guilt of our sin. But the temporary punishment due to sin is not completely removed, nor is our attachment to sin. Mm-hmm. So temporary punishment due to sin, is that new to you? Well, remember when you go to confession, you receive a penance? That deals with the temporary punishment due to sin. If we die and we haven't satisfied completely divine justice in this way, well, then to purgatory we go to satisfy divine justice. Now, St. Faustina, Jesus said to her that his justice demands this suffering, but his mercy doesn't want it. So there's the weighing of the divine justice and divine mercy. The second thing is when we die, perhaps we have satisfied perfectly by God's grace, temporary punishment due to sin. We have done that, but we have attachments to sin. We have attachments to this world. Nothing unclean can enter the kingdom of God. So in purgatory, we have a purification also of our attachments so that we would love God alone. And I felt it's so important maybe also just to look at what did St. Faustina say elsewhere about purgatory. So we thought you might be blessed by this.
I saw my guardian angel who ordered me to follow him. In a moment, I was in the misty place full of fire in which there was a great crowd of suffering souls. They were praying fervently, but to no avail for themselves. Only we can come to their aid. The flames, which were burning them, did not touch me at all. My guardian angel did not leave me for an instant. I asked these souls what their greatest suffering was. They answered me in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God. I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory. The souls call her the Star of the Sea. She brings them refreshment. I wanted to talk with them some more, but my guardian angel beckoned me to leave. We went out of that prison of suffering. I heard an interior voice which said, "My mercy does not want this, but justice demands it." Since that time, I am in closer communion with the suffering souls.
So this was taken from St. Faustina's diary. There's another place that kind of refers to purgatory in her diary that I thought might be beneficial for today.
Once I was summoned to the judgment seat of God. I stood alone before the Lord. Jesus appeared such as we know him during his passion. After a moment, his wounds disappeared except for five, those in his hands, his feet, and his side. Suddenly I saw the complete condition of my soul as God sees it. I could clearly see all that is displeasing to God. I did not know that even the smallest transgressions will have to be accounted for. What a moment. Who can describe it? To stand before the thrice holy God, Jesus asked me, "Who are you?" I answered, "I am your servant, Lord." "You are guilty of one day of fire in purgatory." I wanted to throw myself immediately into the flames of purgatory, but Jesus stopped me and said, "Which do you prefer? Suffer now for one day in purgatory or for a short while on earth?" I replied, "Jesus, I want to suffer in purgatory, and I want to suffer also the greatest pains on earth, even if it were until the end of the world." Jesus said, "One of the two is enough. You will go back to earth, and there you will suffer much, but not for long. You will accomplish my will and my desires, and a faithful servant of mine will help you do this. Now, rest your head on my bosom, on my heart, and draw from it strength and power for these sufferings, because you will find neither relief, nor help, nor comfort anywhere else. Know that you will have much, much to suffer, But don't let this frighten you. I am with you.
So these passages really impress upon me the reality of suffering, the seriousness of this life, the seriousness of the afterlife. For now, it seems that things are kind of veiled in this life, but when we die, we see clearly. As St. Faustina was given that gift to see her own soul, I kind of worry about standing before God that way. So today, let us pray for those who find themselves in purgatory, and for ourselves, let us be aware of every little action that we do, that it would be pleasing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Man, I should really give up sugar for the rest of my life.